The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, good. One day I'll be able to sing that way, and that'd be in heaven, but I'll be able to sing that way one day. Thank you, Brother Palmore. Luke chapter 15, look at it if you will, and let's talk about here was a young man, if you will, that got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. He got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. Here's the story, if you will, and what I want to do, I want to kind of walk you through these verses, and I want to kind of give a thought behind most of these verses here this morning so that we can see exactly what is playing out here. Now, can I tell you, this was a hurting family that turned into a rejoicing family mostly. But I want you to understand what he's teaching here. Luke chapter 15 and verse 24 was our text verse. I'll read it again. The Bible says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Now, how is it that that came to be? Well, let's notice the story. Go back to Luke chapter 15 and look at verse 11. The Bible says here, the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." So here's a man that has two sons. And by the way, can I tell you, in child rearing, you cannot put all of your children in the same box and expect the same result. The Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Everybody's made different. And so you cannot put this child in this box, and then this child in this box, this child in this box, this child in this box, and say, okay, I'm going to treat them like their personality is no different, like their person is no different, and that their person is of no value. You have to treat each and every child. I had three brothers. Can I tell you, all of our personalities, bar none, extremely different. There wasn't one of my brothers that had the same personality as another. My personality was not the same as any one of my brothers. We're all extremely different, okay? Somebody says when they made so-and-so, they broke the mold. God broke the mold when he made everybody, okay? And so we're all different. So the Bible says that here was a certain man. He had two sons. The Bible says, and the younger of them said to his father, in verse 12, the Bible says, "Father, give me the portion," it says, "of the goods that falleth to me," and he divided, it says, "unto them his living." Now understand, just because a child, great, great lessons here about child rearing, just because a child wants something doesn't mean that you ought to give it to them. A child may come up and say, "Well, hey, I want to get my license right now at age 12. It's not time. It's not time. Okay? I want to get my license at age 15. It might not be time. 16 might not be time. 22, 35 might not be time." You know? And so please understand here, just because somebody wants something does not necessarily mean, I like what Dr. Bill Rice said about, what he said about that one verse where it says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Dr. Bill Rice of old used to say this, that word old means state of maturity. And people mature at different times. You know, for somebody to be able to trust one child, say, with a cell phone might be okay, but to trust another child with a cell phone might be not okay. Hello? It really depends on that child. And by the way, it really depends on the grounding that you use to train that child. A lot of that has to do with your training to that child and the purpose of which they're going to use such a mechanism for, such a tool for. See, you cannot trust everybody, if you would please, that is your children. You cannot trust them. That's how come, parents, you need to pay attention to your child and know how they're growing, know their mature level, know what you can give them, what you can allow them to have, what you can expect them to be able to do, how you expect them to be able to respond to that. And so here comes this younger son, and the younger son comes to dad, and as the younger son comes to dad, here's what he says, "I want you to give me all of my inheritance. I want it right now." Now, I think what daddy should have did is daddy should have stood up and said no. First off, because the younger son was going to take that and he was going to go away. So here's a younger son that's had no money to begin with, didn't know how to handle money to begin with, and here he's going to take all this money and he's going to go off on his own. You know that is destined for disaster. The Bible says here in verse 13, the Bible says, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Why is it that he wanted to get so far away from dad? Why is it that maybe he just didn't want to go play with the neighbor a little bit and go down to the Jewish sweet frog? You know, why is it that he wanted to take and get so far away? And the Bible says this. The Bible says that here's what he did. He went and not many days after, so pretty much immediately after he got his substance, he had already made a decision. His decision was, I'm out of here. Now, can I tell you, and I love young people, and we have about 70 to 80 teenagers that attend our church, and we have about 60, I guess, to 65 or so college-age young people that attend our church here, and we love young people. We have probably about 60 children or 70 children or so that attend here, and we love young people. We thank God that we have young people to be able to influence and young people to be able to help, and we thank you as a parent for allowing us the privilege to be able to help your young person make right decisions and know the right way and go the right direction. But please understand, as you see in the content of the scripture, here was a young man had already something working in his mind, already something working in his heart. And what that was is, as soon as I get that money, I'm out of here. As soon as I get this money, I'm going to go and I'm going to do what I want to do. And the Bible says here that he took his journey and he went into a far country, and there he wasted. He wasted. Somewhere along the line, something took place that should not have taken place. And that is the fact that maybe somebody did not sit down with him and teach him not to waste. Can I tell you, you be careful about the things you give your children. Be very careful about when you give things to your children. It might be good for you to withhold some things from your children until they're mature enough to be able to handle those things. It might be wise not to put things inside of their presence, and you expect them, can I tell you, a parent, your child is not as wise as you, your child is not as knowledgeable as you, your child is not experienced as you are, your child is not, he doesn't have all the understanding that you have. Understand this morning that your child is not like you. Look how long it took for you to become you. Now, can I say this morning, here he is, and so not many days after that, that younger son gathered, it says, all together and took his journey, the Bible says, into a far country, and there he wasted his substance. The Bible says, in riotous living. He was doing things that should not once be named among a Christian. And he's wasting his substance in riotous living. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. So he's not somebody that is marking down that, boy, I need to take care of the future. He's not considering the ant as the sluggard is instructed to do in Proverbs, where he would set aside for that which is the future. He's not looking out. And how many times do we counsel people financially that even older people that are middle-aged people, if you will, that's never started a retirement, and they're just living from day to day thinking that they're always going to have the health and they're always going to have the vitality, and they're always going to have the energy, and they're always going to have the mind to be able to do things that they're presently doing. And how many times do we teach our children, no, don't start getting a pattern in that direction, and don't start going down that road, because if you start getting a pattern in that direction, you start going down that road. We have seen tons of people that's made wrong decisions in doing that, and so please, we would say, don't do that, because you're going to wind up wrecked and ruined and destroyed, and can I tell you, you're not above the norm. Here's what we understand. We understand the Bible teaches here that he has spent all. There arose a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Now watch this in verse 15. The Bible says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen. There's always going to be a citizen that's there for you. Whether that citizen is a part of a fundamental independent Baptist church as we are, whether that citizen is somebody that doesn't go to church, as some do, Whether that citizen is a part, if you would please, of doing sinful acts, according to the Bible, and that's known in society as some do, you will always find a citizen, no matter where you are in life, that will be beside you at that time. Now, I think that it would be wise to find the right type of citizen. But the Bible says right here that he went and he joined himself, it says, to a citizen, it says, of that country, a country that's away from the daddy, a country that's away from mama, a country that's away from that which is teaching righteous living and godliness and faithfulness and doing what is right, a country, if you would please, that's outside of the rim, a strange place. And the Bible says that he sent him into the fields, it says, to feed swine. Can you imagine a Jewish boy? A Jewish boy that was taught that that which is swine meat or hog meat, if you would please, was not supposed to be touched. I'm not talking about not just eaten, but touched. Yet the Bible says that here the citizen had sent him down to feed the swine. In verse 16, the Bible says, and filled his belly with that which is the husk of the swine he did eat. And the Bible says that no man gave unto him. So now here's a Jewish boy that is not just touching the swine, but he's eating of the husk of the swine. Boy, he went from riches to that which is poverty. He went from having to that which is nothing. He went to being in a secure home, a secure environment, a place where there was love, a place where there was encouragement, a place where there was fulfillment, a place where there was forgiveness, a place where he had a dad that was close, a mom that was close, somebody that cared, somebody that would nurture, somebody that would take and try to encourage, to a place of loneliness, a place of despair, a place of destitution, a place where nobody was there for him. He went from one place to another place, and can I tell you the way it looks? In short order. And all because here was a young man that was very selfish. And he said, I want it now. Give it to me now. I deserve it now. And can I tell you, we're raising a generation in America that are now people. We're raising teenagers and young people in America. I want it now. I deserve it now. Hey, you ought to thank God that you have a mom and daddy that loves you enough that would take and give you a piece of bread, that will give you peanut butter on the bread or a jelly on the bread. You ought to thank God this morning that you got a mom and daddy that loves you enough to help you and to encourage you and to walk beside you. You ought to thank God tonight, or this morning rather, that God is there for you to help you and to guide you and to walk with you and to be close to you. Hey, thank God for them. Don't walk away from them too quick. Here's what we understand. The Bible says in verse 17. The Bible says when he came to himself. Now, thank God for that. Thank God that the boy had enough common sense to come to himself. What's that mean, preacher? That means the light came on. That's what that means. All of a sudden, it's like, oops, what did I do wrong? Wow. By the way, now this does show some good principles that was sowed in his life. Because if he didn't have the good principles sowed in his life, he never would have came to himself. And so here he is, he's coming to himself, he's waking up. He's beginning to think. Now, parent, let me encourage you. If you have a wayward son or you have a wayward daughter right now, they don't love God, you never see them reading their Bible, they don't talk about God. They don't talk about how good God is. They don't want to come to church. When they do come to church, they sit there like a bump on a log, rebellion written all over them. Can I tell you, don't give up on them. Amen. The Bible says when he hit the very bottom, he came to himself. And sometimes God's got to take us all the way down to the bottom before we wake up. So here was a young man, the Bible says, that he came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, wow, I'm thinking back how good I had it. And by the way, if you've got it good, you don't have to be like the prodigal son. Hey, listen to me. You don't have to step out of church and get into sin and ruin your life and wind up wrecked and ruined and discouraged and upset and thinking that nothing would. Hey, you can stay by the stuff. You can walk in the steps of righteousness. You can walk in the steps of holiness. You can walk in the steps of that which is right living. You can do that. Notice what it says in verse 18. The Bible says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, it says, Father, I have sinned. Now watch this. It says, I have sinned against heaven. And it says, and before thee. So he knew that he had done wrong. And can I tell you, attending a church like this where we preach and we teach a lot of Bible principles, one of the advantages of coming to a church like this is the fact that your kid, if you keep them coming, they will hear truth. And can I tell you, in a world like is today, you need all the help you can get. Well, I think that I'm doing a good job. But extra help doesn't hurt, does it? I mean, it really doesn't hurt, does it? And by the way, have you ever thought about this, parent? Have you ever thought about this, that sometimes I, as a preacher, I've seen parents do this. They're thinking, man, I don't know how to tell my kid this. And you've been thinking about telling them for weeks, maybe months, possibly years. And all of a sudden you come to church, and preacher gets up there, and in one message it's like, boom! And you're thinking, ooh, took care of that problem. See, church is good. I'd rather be in church than a bar. I'd rather be in church than in the movie house. Hey, I'd rather be in a place where somebody's going to open the Bible and say, thus saith the Lord, than to go out on the street somewhere and just listen to somebody else crying aloud, but they're not crying aloud the words of God. God's word will change you. God's word will change your children. If you let God's word do its part, it could have a phenomenal result, if you would, inside of your home, if you would just let it do it. Here's what it says. The Bible says, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. He says, and before thy sight. You know, young people, it's raised up right. When they do wrong, they feel bad. Now, you can call that Holy Ghost conviction. You can call that a consciousness that just understands the difference between right and wrong. Call it whatever you want to call it. But they do feel bad. And the reason they feel bad is because they know what is right and have chosen to do wrong. He didn't know if to do, listen to it, he didn't know if to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So when you know to do something and you choose not to do it, then you should feel bad about it. You know, we live in such a political right society. I mean, everything's got to be politically right. I can't say, if I say that, I'd hurt somebody's feelings. If I said that, they would never come back to church. Oh. You know, if I said that, boy, I tell you what. Hey, it would be better. Now, don't. But it would be better for you to get mad at me and never come back than to hear the truth one time, than to never hear the truth. And be here for years.
Yes, that's good.
Right. Now, can I tell you, it is so very important that we listen up to what's taking place in this family. There were some things that could have been done that wasn't done. There was some things later on that was done that should have been done. But notice, if you will, in verse 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father. So at least he knew he was welcome home. When somebody backslides, they ought to be welcome home to church. When your child goes out, don't cut your children off. Amen. Well, you know, they sinned against me and they'll never be welcome back in this home again. You're wrong. Amen. They always ought to be welcome back in the home. They ought to be always welcome to come back in the church. They always ought to be welcome to be able to be somebody that's accepted by God's children. Hey, this dad had that right. He'd put something inside of that child, and that child knew that though he had done wrong, though he had disgraced heaven, though he had disgraced his own daddy, though he had disgraced his own mother, he knew that, hey, at least I can still go home. Watch what happens. The Bible says, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Boy, he felt really bad, didn't he? I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He says, make me as one of the hired servants. Boy, he's humbled, isn't he? He is just humbled. Sin had overtaken him. Backsliddenness had overtaken him. He's feeling pretty guilty right about now. He says, I don't care how I'm received. I just want back. I just want in. I just want to be back there and in that family again. Amen. Hello, here's what it says. Verse 20, the Bible says, and he arose and he came to his father. And then when he was, a great way off, his father saw him. You know, I know the silhouette, Brother Carroll, of all my children. I know the silhouette. My wife knows the silhouette of all of our children. I've got one boy, not say who it is, that is skinny and tall. When I see him coming, I know the silhouette. I've got another boy that he's a little bit thicker. I've got another boy that's trying to find life in between. And I'll not say who that is. I've got a precious daughter, my wife and I, and we got precious children, and one of those is a daughter. Know the silhouette. I mean, Brother Hooker, I don't have to say, how are you, and hear their voice. I can see them from a distance, and I know exactly who they are. Can you imagine here this dad and dear mother is sitting on their Jewish porch in their Jewish rocking chairs, reading their Jewish paper, drinking their Jewish coffee, and eating their Jewish danishes. And all of a sudden, over the top of the hill is a silhouette. You say, well, that's not hard to figure out. He only had two sons. One's still there. The other one's missing. Well, maybe so. But still, at the very same time, he did see that boy coming across. But what did he do? Here's what he did. Look at it. The Bible says, he says, let's pick up in verse 13. Well, no, let's go. Verse 19. The Bible says, and I'm no more worthy. Here's the son. He's coming back in humility to be called thy son. Make me as one of the highest servants. No doubt, bit over, beaten down by the world, almost completely destroyed. And he arose, and he came to his father, and when he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. By the way, I've done that with my daughter. My wife has done that with my daughter. We have done that with our children. We have done that with our boys. Can I tell you that sometimes you get so overwhelmed? And I remember the first time I ever went overseas, you know, had one preacher tell me this, said, don't go. Had a dream about you. You're going to die. I said, thanks for encouraging my heart. He said, don't go. I'm telling you, don't go. He said, this was a real dream. My wife remember this. He said, I am begging you not to go. He said, because when you go, I had a real dream, and you will not come back. You will die. I said, you know, what did you eat before you went to bed last night? Yeah, don't worry about it. I know that God wants me to, and so I'm going to go do what God. And by the way, if I die, you know, the Bible talks about to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. I get to go to heaven. I said, but I don't think I would. And that was, I don't know, probably 8-9 years ago. I've still been going and I've not died yet. But can I tell you, we're all going to die one day. Hello. Here's what we understand. We understand this about the Bible and the truth about this particular family. The Bible says that the son, of course, he comes to his dad. Dad sees the silhouette, runs out, embraces him, hugs him, kisses him on the neck. Close family, missed his son. You know, as a pastor, Dr. Smell, you know it to be true. When somebody's not here, we miss them. We miss them. I'm telling you, we miss them. I write in my Bible. I carry 3x5 cards with me, and I'll pull one out. Sometimes people think I'm doing a lot of studying up here because, you know, I got to get it in my head. A lot of times there's a 3x5 card laying in the crusts of that Bible, and I'm writing down names of people. It's not here. Names of people. It's not here. Sometime on Sunday afternoon, if you were to come to my office, you'd find a preacher on his knees. And I'm praying over every single name of the people that's not here. You know why? Because I know God wants them to hear his word. They are members. Therefore, I know that God will allow us the privilege to be able to give them the word of God that will help them if they would just show up. And so I write it down, and my heart's absent when I see somebody. I'll do it on Sunday night. I'll write down, I'll look over here first. People are habit most of the time. So the people that sit over here, now don't mess me up tonight. But the people that sit over here, mostly always sit over here. People that sit here, mostly all sit here. People that sit here, and then up there in the balcony areas. Yeah, people are habit most of the time. And so I'll sit up here on Sunday night. I'll pull out a 3x5 card, put it in the crusts of my Bible. I just start writing down names. Just start writing down names. Pull out another 3x5 card, write down names. Pull out my 20th 3x5. No, I'm kidding. Here's what we understand. We understand this. The Bible says that he arose, he came to his father, verse 20, verse 21. The Bible says, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse 22, the Bible says, but the father said unto his son, unto his servants, it says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. It says, and put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. So the boy showed up, clothes all tattered and torn, maybe no shoes at all. The ring signifying back in the family ring. The Bible says, and bring thither, it says, the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. The Bible says in verse 24, for this is my son who was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Let me give you just three statements. Statement number one, he got his inheritance, but he lost his family. He got his inheritance, but he lost his family. He said, I want it now. Give it to me now. My mom died, went home to be with the Lord, April the 20th, 1987. My mom was a wonderful cook. Never again would I taste her food. My dear mother always wanted a kiss goodnight. She never wanted it here. She never wanted it here. She always wanted it here. Now, what the story is behind that, I have no clue. But always wanted it here. I never again, this side of heaven, kissed my mom goodnight on the forehead again. I had more conversations on the phone with my mother than I ever did with my dad. Ever. My dad would get on the phone, tell me the facts, boom, boom. Have a good day, son. That's it. Mom would get on the phone, she'd tell me everything that's happened around the house, around the neighbor's house, around the neighborhood, around the community. I mean, she just described everything. No more conversation there. Dad died June 26, 1991. That's when my daddy died. I would never hear that saying, which was common, he would say. He would say, you did good, son. You did good, son. This is common saying. You did good, son. Never said, I love you or anything like that. He just said, you did good, son. Now, can I say this? Okay, be careful that you don't get your inheritance and lose your family. He got his inheritance, he lost his family. Statement number one. Statement number two, he got his fame, but he lost his position. He got his fame. He was able to walk. Come on, he's got money, no doubt. You know, money hanging out of his pockets. He's just somebody. He got his fame. Just got his fame. Man, when he went rolling in there into this far country, into this foreign town, he's loaded. He's loaded. So he got his fame. For a little while, he was famous. For a little while, everybody got, by the way, a true friend would stay with you when you have money and when you don't. When you got good health and when you don't. When you're faithful and when you're not. When it seems like that you love God and everybody, and when you're bitter, a true friend's going to be there for you. Statement number next. He got his way, but he lost his freedom. He got his way, but he lost his freedom. Last statement, last thought. He got his forgiveness, but he lost the respect. Everybody on that farm will remember the way he treated Dad and the way he left. The way he treated Mom and the way he left. Everybody on that farm will remember, yeah, he's the one that left and came back. Now, by the way, accepted? Yes. Loved? Yes. Restored? Yes. Helped? Yes. Encouraged? Yes. But everybody will remember, yeah, he was forgiven, but he was never all that he could have been. Can I tell you, don't be that individual this morning that will be that one that will say, I got what I wanted, but I lost what I had.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.